TV.
From the middle of the side of the edge of the South American continent. Not sure I got that right. I didn't practice it. I should have. But this is Mark Zender from Lima, Peru. This is the only South American capital on the coast. Yes, it is true. On the Pacific coast here in Lima. Happy to be able to talk to you through this amazing technology. I'm going to dispel a popular Christian myth, and you know how much I love doing that. Might as well start the new year outright. That somehow believers are spiritual Israel. It's the old replacement theology theory, and it's really lazy because it's, you know, I don't know if it's so much lazy as it is pompous, like that we are God's replacement for Israel. I'll tell you what else it is. It also disses God. It also makes God look like he couldn't get done what he had planned to get done with Israel. He really wanted to. He had great plans for Israel, just like he had great plans for Adam in the garden. But Adam threw it for a loop. Adam just turned out to be just way too out there. And Eve, don't get me started on her, way too stubborn than anticipated, way too naive, you know, way too gullible. And so God has to throw out all his original plans for humanity and come up with plan B. And it's the same theory with Israel, that Israel was just too hard-hearted, too stubborn, too stiff-necked, even though God is the one who made her that way. Romans 11, God gave Israel a spirit of stupor. Nevertheless, the stupor just got out of control until it became a super stupor. And now God has no choice but to hope that other people besides Israelites, that is the nations, believe in him. Okay, this is another crapshoot of God's. And when they do believe in him, he says, well, that counts for Israel. That counts. It counts. I know that the real Israel didn't do what they were supposed to do, but let's just say that this is Israel, and then I can still be successful with Israel, right? I can still say that my plan for Israel came true. No, you can't, because these aren't actual Israelites. You're calling a non-people, and then you're just making up that they're Israelites. How dare you expose me on national internet? National internet? My God, the Christian God is so stupid. Okay, let's get right to the scriptures here, and I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 3. Paul says, this is a great advice for all of us, rejoice in the Lord. And then he says this, and I say this a lot because we repeat a lot of important themes here again and again in different ways with different words, yet Paul says, to be writing the same to you is not indeed irksome for me. I could honestly say this, that to be broadcasting some of the same things, because there's nothing new under the sun, it's not irksome to me. I like it. I need it. It establishes me and us in the truth. And then Paul says this, and this has been a theme of my work, I have to admit. I'm just reading this and seeing, yeah, I get this. It is your security. And the one thing that I have been zealous to do is protect the truth, to secure it, to make sure nothing comes in to sully it, to compromise it, to turn it upside down, to make it something that it isn't. It's your security. So, number one, rejoice in the Lord. Number two, to be writing the same to you is not irksome for me. And by this time, he's in chapter 3 of Philippians. So in chapters 1 and 2, he's saying things that he's said before, but he loves it. It's not bothersome at all. It doesn't bore him, and I'm sure it doesn't bore his readers. It is your security. Because when you hear something again and again, it establishes you. Now he says, beware of curs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the maimcision. These are not three different groups of people Paul is warning against. It's the same group of people. But he starts out calling them dogs. Beware of curs. Like, watch out for dogs. And in case anybody in his audience thinks he's talking about literal dogs, he elaborates. This is an expansion. It is a subfolder opening up under the cur folder. You open up the cur folder and you says, and you get this, beware of evil workers. So they're dogs. Whose dogs? The evil workers. What kind of evil are they doing? Then he says this, beware of the maimcision. Oh, I take my cue from this man. This is brutal satire. He is taking a legitimate name, the circumcision, a legitimate title, if you will, an appellation, the circumcision, and he is satirizing it. So for all those who over the years have criticized me for mocking Christianity, for mocking those who believe in eternal torment or free will or the Trinity, I point you to Paul calling the circumcision the maimcision. What he means by that is, well, we're going to see this in verse 3 when he says we have no confidence in flesh. So maybe before I get to the phrase, we are the circumcision, and that's the tricky phrase, we are the circumcision. So many people misunderstand this, just like Luther misunderstood, this is my body, right? Didn't know it was a metaphor. If it was a simile, it would have been a lot easier. This bread is a lot like my body. I wish Jesus had said that. We wouldn't have the whole Catholic ritual. You know, this is a lot like my body. It isn't my body, but it's a lot like it. That's a simile. But no, he used the more bold metaphor, this is my body. Same thing is happening here. And I know that because the R, we are the circumcision, is in dark face type. You remember that lesson? Dark face type, the verb to be. It is a metaphor. It is a relative statement. We are the circumcision. We are not the literal circumcision. We are not literal Israelites. We are like the circumcision. See, if Paul has said that, you wouldn't have this whole replacement theology gang out there saying that, okay, Paul's saying that we're the circumcision. That's it. Israel's done. We're the circumcision. Paul might just as well say, we are Israelites. He doesn't mean it literally. He says it in the same sense that our Lord said it when he held up the bread, this is my body. Oh, this bread is not my literal body, and you are not literal Israelites, but we are like Israelites. Too bad Paul didn't say, we're a lot like the circumcision. We're like the circumcision. Do you want to know how? And he's going to tell us how, and I've already said it, but I'm going to build back up to it. I'm going to back off a little bit and then build back up to it. But first, I want to tap into this delicious satire. Beware of the maimcision. Beware of curs. What do you mean? Literal dogs? No. Evil workers. Oh, there's a lot of those around, Paul. What kind of evil workers? The maimcision. Don't you mean the circumcision? No. The maimcision. Here's what Paul did. He took a legitimate term and a legitimate practice, the circumcision, and he turned it on the people who were claiming to be the epitome representatives of circumcision. Now, the purpose of circumcision was to humiliate an Israelite male. That was exactly what it was supposed to do. Because Israel's future, according to the Abrahamic covenant, through you and your seed, I will bless all the nations of the earth. Through you and your seed. Abraham says, what seed? I don't even have a son. And God was going to produce a miraculous people from him. So a huge part of Israel's destiny is reproduction. That's right. Having kids, having babies. And a major player, if I can say it this way, a major player in the reproductive process is the male member. The male member was going to play an important role in Israel's future. Ah, yes, in and out, in and out. Here come the kids. Okay, so that's a big deal. It's like, yep, I got it. Here we go. Going to produce a kid. And of course, we know that Abram had that idea when he first went into his wife's handmaiden because she was barren. And this was a pride thing for Abraham. He still had his game on. But then later, he became impotent. He couldn't get it on. And so God invigorated him. Paul says in Romans, I think it's the form of the word Viagra. I really do. Invigorated Abraham, and he produced a son. But still, it's that male member. It's still that thing. And so to ensure that an Israelite male, this is the whole purpose of circumcision. You say, what a weird ritual. Why would you have to cut a piece of skin, the foreskin, off of a man's favorite reproductive organ? Why? Why? It's ridiculous. It's silly. Exactly. It is ridiculous and it is silly. That was the purpose of it. It was supposed to remind the men, the procreators, that they were subject to God and that this whole thing was happening because of the power of God. And they were supposed to see that in the Abraham Isaac scenario, the miraculous child birth, not Ishmael, not the son produced according to the flesh, but the son produced according to the promise. The son produced according to the flesh was in accord with Abraham's virility, yet the son produced according to the promise was a miracle. God invigorated. God gave Abraham the spiritual blue pill and made him able. And so there was no pride after that. To seal the deal and to remind the men, the males, constantly, that it was of God and not of them, they were going to have to endure this humiliating rite upon their favorite reproductive organ. Circumcision literally means to cut around. So they, and then the male was supposed to look down, and it hurt. It was not a pleasant thing. And I don't think they had like Tylenol on back then. I don't know. Probably not. But maybe they had some herbs or some special spices that they could somehow ease the pain. Maybe aloe vera was the answer. I don't know. But it was like, ooh. And then for the rest of their lives, they were supposed to look down and go, ooh, oh, I'm circumcised. It's so embarrassing. But what did Israel do? What Israel always does. They actually started using it as a badge of pride. And you've heard me say this before. Some of you have never heard me say this, but here it is. A male Israelite was supposed to look down and say, oh my God, I'm circumcised. But instead they said, I'm circumcised. I'm special. Look at me. I'm missing part of my favorite reproductive organ. Ho ho. I am circumcised. And they took pride in it. They actually took pride in it. What a bunch of morons. They missed the whole point of it. And so the whole point of it was, as Paul goes on to say in verse 3, we are the circumcision who are offering divine service in the Spirit. I'm going to slow down on this and go through it. Who are glorying in Christ Jesus, have no confidence in flesh. That was the whole thing. God knew that was with all this reproduction going on and with all this in and out going on, that it was going to produce confidence in flesh. So the circumcision rite was to take away the confidence in flesh and to remind the males that it was God doing this and not them. But they turned it all around and became proud of it, which was absolutely ridiculous. It's like God, what would it be like? It would be like God putting Coke bottle glasses. You see these people with these giant glasses with a lens, you know, 3 inches thick, and it's very embarrassing. And let's say God made everybody wear those, and nobody wanted to go out because it was so embarrassing. But pretty soon everybody started going, look at my glasses. How do you like my glasses? Look at these Coke bottle glasses. I'm superior. Look how big my eyeballs look through this 3-inch lens. It's just, I don't know, it's probably a bad example, but I'm doing this on the fly. I'm trying the best I can here. It's supposed to be embarrassing, okay? So, having lost the purpose of circumcision, Paul turns around and calls them the maimcision. So, he says that what you're doing now, the only thing you're doing, you're not fulfilling the whole spiritual idea of it. You're merely injuring the flesh. See, the maim, when you maim someone, right, you hurt them, you injure them, you break their leg or something, you maim them, you disable them in some way. And Paul is saying the whole thing God had for this is lost because of you morons, and now you're just maiming the flesh. That's all you are, is the maimcision. And if you want to know the truth, Paul says, we, the nations, are actually the true circumcision. I say actually, no, it's figurative. We are what God originally intended. I hesitate to say that as if God's plan was derailed. It was not. God meant for Israel to be stiff-necked and stubborn. And he calls a people who actually, here it is, fulfill in spirit the purpose of circumcision, which is no confidence in flesh. That's all God was after. That's all he was after. But we don't have to cut the flesh to do that, any part of the flesh. We just believe that we were crucified with Christ. There is our circumcision right there. That is our being cut off. That's it. That's it. It's not just one little part of the anatomy. It's the entire being, the entire flesh, all of it. And the entire humanity was put to death with Christ, was stripped off. The old humanity was stripped off, not just a little piece of skin. The whole damn thing was stripped off, and that is it. And because of that, because God looked at the old humanity and said, I can't justify this. I'm going to consider it to have died with my son, consider it crucified, and now you are a new creation. And how can we have confidence in the flesh when the flesh was so bad and so ugly that it had to be put to death? You're going to brag about that? So we're so past that. Like I said yesterday, we're past that boasting phase. We're past using the personal pronoun I and thinking that we're still alive apart from Christ. We're past that, which means we're so past confidence in the flesh. We're so past it. People who think because I have a show or something, because I have over 3,700 shows, and because I have a following, that I have confidence in flesh, that is such a joke, such a cruel, ugly, stupid misunderstanding. I have absolutely no confidence in the flesh. All my confidence is in God. And I didn't have to be circumcised for that to happen. I'm not saying I wasn't. I'm just saying, well, I don't know. There was a time in America where it just became the thing to do. It wasn't a religious rite anymore. What was it? Maybe it was a health thing. I don't know. But originally it was meant as a humiliation. Anyway, let's get off that. But it has to do with either confidence or no confidence in flesh. So this is what Paul means when he says we are the circumcision. We are fulfilling in spirit. We are the circumcision who are offering divine service in the spirit of God. There it is. Not in the flesh, in the spirit. We are offering divine service. We are actually the true circumcision. We are living out the no confidence in flesh, but not through the rite of circumcision. Just as we, the nations, Paul says in Romans, the nations who have no law become a law unto themselves and are doing the things that the law demanded, but they're doing it apart from law because the Spirit of God makes its home in them. So we're not murdering anyone. Not because the law said, thou shalt not murder. That's not why we're not murdering. We're not murdering because God gives us his spirit, and the first fruit of the spirit is love, and you generally don't murder people that you love. So we fulfill it in spirit. All these things that Israel struggled to do in flesh, we do in spirit. We're the circumcision. In that sense, we're not the literal circumcision. Because God is still going to complete his plans with Israel. Oh, yes, God's not done with Israel. They're just temporarily on hold. If you're a preterist, God help you. I'm sorry. Hallmark should make a card for you. I hear you're a preterist. Open a card. I'm so sorry that you think God is finished with Israel. I mean, if I had time, I'd make it much more clever than that. So sorry that you think you're a replacement Israelite. So sorry. So sorry that you think God is so lame that he can't corral his people and that they've gotten out of hand so much so that he has to call people who are not his people and toss the literal people out. Oh, no, that's crazy. God's going to fulfill his intentions with the literal people. In the meantime, how satisfying it is for him to call those of the nations and just point to us, point us out to the whole universe and say, now that's what I mean by no confidence in flesh. Right there, those people. That's what I mean. Nothing to do with a surgical procedure. You don't need ibuprofen afterwards. It's spiritual no confidence in flesh. Love that. and we're offering divine service. Oh, does that mean we have to build a tabernacle? Does that mean we have to observe the Passover and the Sabbath? Again, this is what happens when people take metaphors too far. Paul's using Israelite talk to talk about the body of Christ. This is where people get screwed up because they don't realize it's analogous. It is a metaphor. We are the circumcision who are offering divine service. Read the next part, because the divine service has to do with the temple, the whole priestly ceremony, but we're not a priesthood either, who are offering divine service in the Spirit. Key phrase, can't leave that out. Please don't leave it out. In the Spirit of God, and are glorying in ourselves. No, glorying in Christ Jesus. And the result of this, we have no confidence in flesh. So Paul's just wiping out this proud people who think that they are the true circumcision when in fact they've missed the whole point of it and they're bragging about being circumcised. We're circumcised. And Paul says, all you're doing now, at this point, all you're doing is maiming the flesh. And he says, I'm going to start calling you the maimcision. Oh, brutal satire. Absolutely love it. So beware of the maimcision. And you know what? I'll end this way. Christianity didn't exist yet in Paul's day. It would exist, and the seeds were sown for it, but it did not exist. But it started, the seeds were sown with the circumcision, with the Israel people. That's where the seed of confidence in flesh was sown. And Christianity is carrying out the confidence in flesh that the circumcision had. And it was the circumcision, the literal Jews who still loved the law, still loved the ritual, who were vexing the hell out of Paul's people, and in the case of the Galatians, trying to get them to perfect themselves with law. These people just bugged Paul all the time. Now who's bugging us? The circumcision? No, the Christians. But they are the children. They're the offspring of these troublesome Israelites. They're the offspring. They have tons of confidence in flesh. They have nothing but confidence in flesh because they believe in human free will. They're confident that they can decide their eternal destiny by believing in Jesus. If God would just leave them alone long enough for them to make the proper decision. OMG. Talk about confidence in flesh. You think they're any form of circumcision? No, none. They're loaded with confidence in flesh. We have none. Anyone who believes in free will has confidence in flesh, period. We don't believe in it because we believe that all is of God. Therefore, and we believe also we were crucified with Christ. That's what God thinks of our flesh. So we're a new humanity. We are the circumcision. And you know now that that's a metaphor. We're not the literal circumcision. But we become what they, quote, should have been, unquote. It's a relative statement. Thank you very much. And we do it by glorying in Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you what, there's nothing more relaxing than stopping glorifying in myself, stopping having confidence in myself, and glorifying instead in Christ Jesus.